to the angel who was speaking with me, saying, "What are these, my Lord?" And he said, "You mean you don't know what these are?" I said, "No." Verse 6. He said, "This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. That is, everything you are seeing is the word of God." And what is that word saying? It says, "Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit." Now, see the interpretation further down. Verse 11. "And I answered and said to him, 'What are these two olive trees on the right of the lampstand and on his left?' And I answered the second time and said to him, 'What are the two olive branches which are beside the two golden pipes which empty the golden oil from themselves?' So he answered me, saying, 'Do you not know what these are?' And I said, 'No, my Lord.' Then he said, 'These are the two anointed ones.'" Literally, these are the two sons of oil who are standing by the Lord of the whole earth. There's a message I prayed, I think it was last year. Who can remind me of the title? I talked about the sons, that's the title, the sons of oil. Please go and get that message. I discuss this in detail. I don't want to mix my facts now, but actually from my study of the scriptures, he was mentioning the names of two prophets. And he said, "These are the two sons of oil." That is the reason, when he said, "Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit." What was he saying? He was saying that the supply of the energy with which Zerubbabel will succeed, will prosper, will overcome, is by the words of those two prophets. Are you getting my point? As they speak to him, and they say, "Go and succeed." Success is automatically his portion. If he struggled without the word of those prophets, he will not prosper. Let me say something to you. Plans don't work in life. They are just the means by which success is executed. I don't know whether I hear what I said. Listen, look around you. There is an electrical appliance somewhere around you. Overhead, you see light flooding this stage. There's a camera over there. There's another camera over there. There's a fan there. There are air conditioners. All of them, forget all this engineering. Whether it's made by Temoku, Samsung, whoever it is that's making them, LG, Sanyo, mention any name. Let them engineer from now till tomorrow. Except there is power feeding these things, they don't work. Do you get my point? Use the best bulb designers. Go to Philips. Design something for me. Hook it up. Shine it on the stage. Except there is power feeding them, they don't work. You follow what I'm saying? It is not the design of the air conditioner that's most important. It's whether there is power to make that design work. Plans in life, that is plans, they are like that. They are the engineering designs we have for success. But most of people's plans don't have any power. I don't know what I hear what I said. The man will write the best business proposals. Listen to me, success does not come by quality of business proposals. Business proposals are just the ways by which success may be executed if it has been determined. Listen to me. There are men who their mistakes were the ways by which they entered into success. I told you before that R.G. Letourneau, he said that if he had understood the principle of accounting, he would never have been anything in life. And listen, the scriptures make it clear, you must know accounting. Because he said, "Know the condition of your flock, because riches are not forever." Do you understand my point? Yeah, the man said, "If I had known it, I would have failed." Because he was one man who did not understand the market. He just knew the technical aspect, and he had dreams to build machines. Listen to me. But because success was determined in his life, his mistakes were converted to success. So when he talked about the sons of oil, go and listen to that message. The sons of oil. I talked about it in the details. Success comes by the prophetic word. It's not by struggle. That was what Moses had to understand. Moses thought, you know, I let me talk about ministry again. People have said all kinds of things. And you want to do ministry? There are men who want to build great churches. They travel to South Korea to go and see how Young Icho does it. When I hear it, I am discouraged. That is like, I'm angry. Then what are you talking about? Where did Young Ito travel to? I have no problem with your traveling. But when you make it look as if it is the methods that meet the ministry, I'm upset. It's not the method. It's the calling and the anointing. And let me tell you something. When God's power comes upon you, you will learn how to organize by force. I don't know. Listen, let me give you an example. Let us assume now, as an example, you are a transporter and you have two vehicles. And God says, okay, fine, let me show this boy something. Then I say, all right, you are the one that's going to transport the whole of Nigeria Olympic contingent or whatever may be around the country. You don't need anybody to tell you those are your two small cars won't work. Or let's say, they say, for example, now everybody is going for redemption camp, redeem people, Holy Ghost camp, Holy Ghost night. And God says, okay, the contract to move all the Enugu redeem people to Lagos, now your own. Do you get my point? Don't worry, sense will come to your head by force. Even if you don't have it, you will ask. People will immediately start telling you, before you know what's happening, you will have organized one or two people to, oh boy, how do we do it? Okay, you know I don't know how to do this thing. Can you just, okay, I can interview the drivers. You help me arrange this. Do you understand my point? Then people who don't understand will say, praise God. The key to moving everybody, is by good arrangement. You don't realize that you can have a good arrangement and nobody wants to be moved anywhere. Have the best arrangements. They don't want to be moved. That's why, as a Christian, I've told you, you can't afford to work 7 days a week. It's crazy. You can't afford it. To wake up early and get out of the house very early in the morning is not good. You are wasting the most precious thing you have. You are misusing it. What do I mean? You must relax. Time to get up and prophesy. The 1 hour prophecy in the morning is more important than the phone call. Your phone can't go off because you're afraid that business may come while your phone is off. It is vain for you to rise up early and to go to bed late. The Bible says it is vain. You know what that means? It has to be vanity. By the prophet, they were brought out of Egypt. And by a prophet, they were preserved. It's a lesson for your life. What brings you out of bondage is prophecy. Listen, we are not normal people. You know, I've been saying that. And that's why, the Bible says, because he has said, therefore we can boldly say. That's the principle of prophecy. He said, you must prophesy again. You know the word again, what it means? You have heard the utterance in heaven. You must go down to the earth and utter it. You must echo what God is saying. He said, the angels hearken to the voice of his word. We described it before, that he didn't say the angel hearken to the word of God. He said, they hearken to what? Any voice that's uttering that word. That was what Moses had to learn. Moses thought he was an arranger, you understand what I'm saying? An organizer, a motivator, a mobilizer. You understand what I'm saying? But God said, oh boy, you're a prophet. So while the strength of the arranger was in him, God didn't let him go. Why I kept on reading that part of that Exodus 3:4 is to show you that the man objected. And he was objecting because his strength was small. And that was good. You know, we've heard the story of a drowning man before. You want to rescue him? Don't try it while he's still struggling. Rescue him when he's about to die. The reason is because in his desperation to keep alive, if he tried to rescue him, two of you will drown. So when his energy is gone, he has struggled, he has kicked, entered into the air, sank down to the bottom. He will use all the energy he has. Now he's inhaling water, his energy is gone from him. The man who knows will not dive in. It's easier to rescue a man who has failed than the one who is still struggling. That's what God was saying. I remember those days when I was very young, when the first time people carried me on bicycles and later on motorcycles. Sometimes you go through very rough patches, very rough patches, maybe a sandy area. The reflex is that you want to try and balance. And I remember everyone riding, in which I was a passenger, including one of my friends when I was in secondary school, they kept on saying, don't, just stay the way you are. Because he, the main guy in control, he knows how to handle it. But once you try to balance, you toss everything out of balance. It was hard. I remember it was very hard to remain still when it appears like you are going to fall. But that was what the fellow needed to keep both of you standing. For Moses, that was it too. As long as he knew how to organize, God said, this guy won't prophesy. No, if you know how to organize, you won't prophesy. You are getting the point I'm making. Once you know how to organize, you won't prophesy. One of the things I found out, some of the foolishest ministers are rich ones. Let me start. Let's say it again. If you see any man who was a multi-millionaire before he entered the ministry, 90% of their decisions are wrong. Preachers. I'm not talking about those who have become rich over the years. You understand? When they started the ministry, they were struggling guys. But you see a man, don't chop belly full. He get money. Multi-millionaire. He wants to start a church. Don't go there. It's a waste of your time. I've seen them many times. You know why? They can gather a crowd by printing billboards. They have the money. When you say, oh boy, where does it start? Wait to print tracts in a prayer. He will prophesy a crowd into existence. That is the only crowd that will come is the one that responds to prophecy. Anyone that will not respond to prophecy, he won't show up. Let me tell you what they call human strength. After this church is trying to organize, they tell their members, take your cars, go and bring the people you are supposed to bring to church. I say, you are still, your Moses never died yet. He's still strong. God has not yet spoken to you. You are not yet encountered. Listen, ministries that have bus like Winners in Lagos, that's in Ogun State, Otta, they have plenty buses to bring people. But let me tell you, don't be fooled. That's not why the church is full in number. It's not. The buses were bought to help people who were trying to get there. They were not bought to encourage people to come. I was in Winners when Bishop used to laugh at churches that had buses. I'm telling you. In fact, the first day I heard that they had buses, I was shocked. But it made sense. When you are looking at that kind of, it's just kindness. This is not about, I don't know what I get my point. It's kindness now. This is not about, let's make the church grow. The church had grown, that is, they were having multiple services in a 50,000, capacity auditorium. To help people was why they got buses. But young boys who want to build church and church is not growing, they start negotiating, okay, just give us the bus on credit. What they are thinking of is that, once we have buses, one to go to Abapa, the other one to Nightmare, one will go Agban, the other one will reach MNA. Church go full. Offering go plenty, we go pay you. Those who don't know anybody, who can lend them money, those who don't want to borrow money, but who have their own cash, they will buy the buses. It's good. New business, don't start. But better enter into transportation because nobody is coming to that church because you bought a bus. My experience is that when the people are very rich, they tend to buy the bus. I don't know whether you get my point. Let me just help you. If you're a preacher, you're starting ministry. At least God helped me with that one. Separate your pocket and ministry on very well. When I say separate pocket, I don't mean don't chop ministry money. Do I need to tell you that one? If you want to eat chop ministry money, you choke alone. Doesn't concern me. I mean, don't even be, the same way you will not eat ministry money, you get my point, don't let ministry eat your own money too. Some of you are saying, Pastor Banky, what are you talking about? Telling you, Kingdom doesn't eat my money at all. The way you give offering, I also give offering. After that offering, you understand, there's an account. Pastor Banky and Mrs. Banky put offering, we record in our personal. How much do we give Kingdom Word? We record it, we give Kingdom Word. Now, what Kingdom Word get money to do this, then we do it. It's not because if Kingdom Word needs money, it's his own problem. I don't know that I get my point. Not my personal issue. I don't budget for Kingdom Word expenditure based upon what I can afford because it's not my business. Listen, I'm telling you the truth. As God prospers me, as my family, we increase what we give to Kingdom Word. But the need of Kingdom Word is not tied to my ability. Not concern me. if I see our expenditure, we can't pay for radio. Eh? I will shut it down first. But whether we can pay for radio or not, if God increases me, you understand? I put money more into the, I give, that's just what I do. There's a way we, in my family, we share money. So Kingdom World gets a good part of our money that goes for, because we have a special arrangement for sponsoring the gospel. So we make, if my wife makes money in doing business, it cuts a portion. This one's for the gospel. If you are hungry, she won't give you the money. But if you are preaching, you will get it. Do you understand my point? Giving to those who are hungry is a different matter. So Kingdom World, if Kingdom World likes, don't spend money again. We'll still put it in there. Let the account of Kingdom World swell to 1 billion naira. We'll continue to put it in there. Kingdom World better learn to spend it. In the same way, if Kingdom World can't pay radio broadcast, I shut it down. That is, I shut it down as Pastor Banky, founding president of Kingdom World. You understand my point? But as a personal human being, I don't know whether you're getting what I'm going to explain. Yes, you have to try. The same way you're not supposed to chop church money, church should also not chop your money. I pray you get my point. I didn't say don't give. Did I say that? I said you are not a guarantor for the ministry's debt. If you look, listen, if you think of ministry like business in which your profit is the blessing of the human soul, you understand? You will organize things differently. I was talking about using ministry as an example. When people have too much resources, as an example, that also happened to Moses. He had too much energy, so he could organize. And my experience has been that when a man has too much money for ministry, that's what he does. Spends all the money. Having spent all the money, you understand? We don't know the one that the grace of God did and the one that the hand of Moses did. But when he does not have, and he does not know how to beg or arrange, every increase in his life, na grace. Those who have been in ministry, we all understand. Apostle, am I lying? Posters don't bring people to church. We know. It can invite people to Two Face concert. But church, no, not poster. Now, we have come to realize it. I've been with ministers before that they did not have money to print poster, you know, handbills. That's what I'm saying. And when they saw the turnout, they said, my God, this is fantastic. I said, okay, now you're learning the lesson. But if they had money, they would print 100,000. Look, listen, I have done a program before. Of course, you know, some of these you learn. It's not because you were born. You say, Pastor Banky has the sense to know that posters don't organize programs. No, it's experience. You too, you don't print poster before. I don't do, is it 1,000 flyers? And the last day of the program was me, my wife, and my friend, three of us. Yes? In case you do not know. Eh? Let me not just sit there. All those ones. Listen, let me tell you something. You must understand what is really the cause and what is the consequence. What I mean is this. If Bishop Oyedepo prints, let's say Winners wants to organize a program in town, and Bishop Oyedepo prints, the Winners will print maybe 100,000 flyers. They'll probably get 200,000 people to come for that program. Do you understand? Some who don't know, they say 100,000 flyers brings 200,000 people. No. The name Oyedepo drags 200,000 people. The flyers are just the ways by which we announce to people that Oyedepo is coming. Are you getting my point? If you have the name Ajale Koku, and you put it, people will use your flyer, turn it upside down, take it and do jotting for class. Nobody go show. Do you get what I'm saying? Those are the hands of Moses that we're talking about. But the hand of God, by trials, by wonders, you understand my point? By power, by the outstretched arm. When the man doesn't have money to print anything, he go kneel down for corner. In the name of Jesus, everybody that comes was sent by God. They won't give him problems. And listen to me, it's not just ministry. It's not just ministry. Many of the business principles you learn in life, let me tell you, if there is no power, they are just like the air conditioner you have bought. Well designed, very good. Very good. But if there's no power behind it, it won't work. And peradventure, you saw another man's own working. Do not think It is because of the good design of the project. Always remember, it's because there is a power pushing that. That's the lesson from the life of Moses we are picking today. That's why I call an encounter with grace. When Moses was struggling, I can't do it. I can't do it. One of the ways you will know where you have grace in life is where things respond to your words. You get my point? I have seen people trying to build church sometimes. I feel sorry for them. A friend of mine, well, we're not very close, but a pastor, once he invited me to his church to come and preach, and he said something to me, which was quite interesting, that he had a church somewhere in town. You know, people tell you that if you're in the center of town, ministry go grow, church go big. Hear ye the word of the Lord. It's a fat lie. Most of the dying churches around here, they're in the center of town. Because the pastor also thought that being in the center of town, it will grow. And if you see a church is on the edge of town and it's not growing, it's not because of the location. This man had this church in stadium. What is more central than stadium in Enugu? Either stadium itself or just a building opposite stadium. He said he labored for maybe 2 years or three. The church in number, they not pass 17 or so. Then one day, things made happen. I don't know exactly how it happened, whether he prayed or he moved to, what do you call this part of Enugu on the hill? Ngo. I was in the church to preach. The church is neither inside Ngo, nor inside Enugu. It's a dry stretch between, you know, between Ngo and then Enugu here. He said in a year they grew to over 100. He said, Pastor Bank, I'm not like a numbers man. He said, but that tells you something. Do you understand what I'm saying? That tells you something. Christianity is not about the ability to plan and arrange and organize. Those things are the ways by which the blessing that God has commanded manifests itself. That's when I read books on marriage that speak as if those things are required to sustain the marriage, I threw them into the dustbin. First, the marriage is sustained. Amen? Amen? It is sustained because it is a covenant bound by the word of God. For this cause shall a man leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife, and the two of them shall become one flesh. And whatever God has so joined together, nothing can put asunder. Are we agreed on that? Yes. Now let's now see how we can enjoy it. I don't know whether you get my point. We can now learn that, okay, if you buy your wife a rose and you do it around her head like this and finally drop it on her nose, she go happy. Hey, praise God. And if we don't do it, she will be unhappy, but she ain't going anywhere anyway. Are you getting my point? So the joy, the love that's already in the marriage by the word of God, we can express it through buying roses, going to restaurants to eat, opening doors for people if we wish. You understand my point? Saying all kinds of nice things, but that is not what is sustaining the marriage. By a prophet, Israel was delivered. By a prophet, she was sustained. Listen, read all those methods. I have seen people use method of reconciliation. At the end of the reconciliatory method, they quarreled. What's the lesson from Moses? We are believers. We operate by what? Prophecy. Listen, let me tell you this quickly. If you see a man that is succeeding, in quotes now, out of curiosity, go and learn his method. But don't even think that's how you will succeed. Don't even think that that is the source of his success. The Bible says, by faith we understand that the words were framed by the word of God. Success is framed by the word of God. So that the things that we see did not come out of the things that are apparent. Let me emphasize on this so we can begin to close. How do we succeed in life? How do we bring our Israel out of Egypt? The Bible says clearly it's by what? Prophecy. And that was what Moses learned. Having struggled and struggled, God brought him to a point in which he taught Moses how to prophesy. I don't know whether he gets the point. What did he do to Moses? He taught him how to prophesy. Thus, you will say to Pharaoh. I don't know whether you get my point. It's not a negotiation. Thus, you will say to Pharaoh. Now, Pharaoh will respond like this, but don't worry. You say this, then I will do this. What's a lesson for your victory, your progress, your success in life? You must learn what to say. This is what the training phases, the different training phases of our lives, all right, are for. To teach us what to say so we can speak with conviction. Listen, I've told you this before. Let me say it to you again. There is nothing I have asked God for. There is nothing I have declared. You know, including when we're in university. I would just say something like, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, I'm going to do that. And I'll just say with conviction. Then one day I look back, it's been done. There is nothing I've asked God for. There is nothing that I have prophesied concerning about my life. You understand? That either did not come to pass or is in the process of coming to pass. And the ones that have not yet come to pass, I am convinced they will. Listen, you've heard of, you've heard me say things like that before. People say, have 2.5 children because country is hard. I just put 2.5 as a joke. They say, you have 1 Pekin because country is hard. How will you train them? But you hear me say this thing all the time. That if I want to train 100 children, it won't be a problem. I don't know why you are getting what I'm saying. Those of you have heard me long enough, you hear me say things like that. That listen, I will send other people's children to go to school abroad. So the money to train my own children can never be a problem. People will say, okay, it's good to have your children abroad because you never can tell. You hear me say, any country my children want to go to, anytime they want, they will be able to go there. Now, listen, I've been saying them for at least 20 years, not today. And that's not a joke. God is my witness. I've been saying those things for at least 20 years. When I was not even planning to get married. I've been saying those things. This is what I'm telling you. Those are words of what? Prophecy. They go out and they fulfill themselves when the time will come. If along the line you hear that Pastor Banky bought a shipping line, you know, some of my, whichever way by which I did it, don't think success was created because of shipping line. No, it's like God said, how do I fulfill the words that this boy spoke 25 years ago, 30 years ago, 40 years ago? And the angels will say, all right, Lord, we're at your service. How do we go onto the earth and execute the movement of cash in his direction? And it's okay. Give him 1 or 2 ships. Now, you think it's business acumen? No. The word was looking for the opportunity to manifest. And the word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. Many people are trying to create flesh, no word. Do you know the logic there? We'll go do business with a good business. Their business is built on fear. The fear of tomorrow. What shall we eat? What shall we drink? Wherewithal shall we be clothed? So the thing doesn't have a spirit inside it. Therefore, it is not sustained. He said he withdraws his spirit and they expire. When there's no spirit inside the body, it dies. Do you get what I'm trying to explain?
Yes, sir.
Listen. What will sustain your life is the prophetic word. Remember I said you are your most important prophet. What Pastor Banky and any preacher is doing is to give you the first word of prophecy, then you must prophesy again. So the words you are prophesying today, you are speaking, a time comes. They start looking for flesh. They start looking for how to manifest. He said, I come in the volume of the books it is written of me. That is, there are things that are written. They are not looking for how to manifest. That is when your business idea takes on what? Life. And listen. Whatever you see outside is determined by something in the spirit realm. There's a study I'm even doing, talking about judgment time. I just realized, listen to that revelation again, that The scroll of God is a scroll of judgment. And I'll talk about that maybe later on when we get down there, all right? But the point I want to make is this. Anything you see outside was first written and declared somewhere. You know, was it yesterday? Yes. Olayinka, me, Joy, were in the car. We're driving, you know. Some things that happened on the road was, we had to go and pick Joy to help us in the, we had to go to the clinic yesterday. That's her hospital. So when we're going back, we had to drop her at home. So it was night. So light was on. We're just looking at things happening. We began to comment. No, Yenka mentioned light. These trucks, they won't have any light. And they go and mount some searchlights on their heads, confusing you in front. You don't even know what is going on. You think it's something that is far. So we're about to start commenting. Then suddenly I realized that, oh boy, you are talking. You're not supposed to talk. You're supposed to prophesy. Do you understand my point? So immediately I just said, Father, no, let's stop talking. In the name of Jesus Christ, Lord, you will do this for us. Let bring out regulations that I just began to talk. I began to pray and began to prophesy there and then concerning how trucks arrange their lights. Now, I may forget, but that word has gone forth. Do you follow my point? What will happen as a result? One day, something will happen. Maybe one federal road safety man or a senator or a House of Rep member, his car will have an accident because of one of those lights, and he will be angry. And he will come out of the damaged car, God having spared his life. He will go to the National Assembly next day and said, what is Federal City doing? Before you know what's happening, Federal City will clamp down hard on illegal trucking, lighting business. Do you understand what I'm explaining? And you will sit and say, they're not doing something. No, it's because a child of God, I don't get what I'm going to explain. Listen, remember the story I told, repeating from Tunde Bakare's mouth. Tunde Bakare said, he went to Pastor Iyadeboye, who was his pastor then, and said, pray that God will bless me. And you will never have to make announcements for money like this again. And then, the man prayed for him. And the next week, they fired him from his job. He came to tell his pastor laughed. And he was wondering what was funny. And he said to him, the kind of money you are talking about, they can't pay those things as salaries. So it is therefore necessary that God has you fired so that you can move up to the level that you are supposed to move up to. Go and start your own private practice. And he reminded the man of God that the law in Nigeria forbids people of my level, is a lawyer, from entering into private practice. The man just told him, go. He went back home a few days later. Idiagwan Buhari removed the current law and wrote a new law, allowing him to go into private practice. Nobody made a phone call to anybody. But the prophetic word went into the air and it began to arrange so that this child may be born. Are you getting what I'm going to explain? Listen, you want to know your job concerning your life as a believer is to settle down until the prophecy comes. You know, it's not prophetic word because I like to talk. You understand my point? You know what I mean? I like to talk. I'm watching football. I must talk. Why did they pass? Now, it's not supposed to pass. It's supposed to cross on. Oh, why did they shoot? You know, that kind of talk. Useless talk, empty talk. What the Bible calls clanging cymbals and empty words. You know, all those empty words. That's not what we're talking about. Prophetic words are words spoken because the spirit, you know, the earth was without form and it was void and darkness was upon the surface of the deep. And the spirit of God was what? Hovering or brooding upon the surface of the waters. And then God erupted. Boom! And Moses' head, let there be light. I don't know whether you get my point. What happened was that God, having brooded, what he was contemplating, filled his heart. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So it spoke. And there was no language, you know. So that eruption, boom, light came to be. So when Moses had to record it for you and me, he had to put it in a way that you can understand. So he wrote, and God said. I pray you get that. God wasn't going around just saying, hey, let there be light. No. He just said, darkness, that's not good. What should there be? Light. And boom, it came out of his heart. And that was what was called words. So Moses said, let there be light. But light doesn't have ears, does it have?
You know, that kind of thing. So what happened was that the thing came out and it congealed as light. What am I saying? We are talking about prophesying, having eaten a scroll. Having contemplated the word of God. What God taught Moses in that encounter at the burning bush was how to prophesy. He told him what to say, what will happen, and how to respond. As Moses responded according to that, the children of Israel were delivered by those words of prophecy. And those words also sustained them. Let me summarize. You are not a struggler. Did I hear an amen? No, you are not a struggler. You are not a struggler. What you will experience in life is just the word looking for the opportunity. Looking for the avenue to manifest itself. Listen, some people... I'm just talking about preachers. Some have contemplated and brooded upon this church of God will be transformed with the preaching of truth. One day, God will show you the body that thing has become. The word becomes flesh and dwells amongst men. That's the way it works. Some have thought of ideas or something they would like to do. Let me give you an example. Some say, look, I am going to have so much money. I'm going to sponsor the gospel. I'm going to take care of the poor. I'm going to do that. Listen, that word that they keep uttering, it can come out in many ways. For some people, it will come out in that they will change the laws in Nigeria. The land they bought somewhere, maybe further down south from here. Suddenly somebody will come drill something on it and oil will come out. And Nigeria has said that any oil on your land is your own. You know, like it is in America. Someone says he's fortunate too. He's not fortunate. The prophetic word is just manifesting. So the question now is that, what are you learning? What are you saying? Are you planning or you are prophesying? Remember, it is forbidden for you to walk every day of the week. You need a day to go to your burning bush and learn how to prophesy. Don't wake up every morning and dash out of the house. Wake up first and prophesy over the day. Prophesy over tomorrow. God will bring people into your life that will help you. It does not mean men are the things needed for progress. It just means the word needed to use that man and he used him. God will take people out of your life if it is necessary. But one thing is certain, that word will become flesh. That is what Christianity is. I hope you've gotten my point. I hope you've gotten my point. I think I've preached everything I'm supposed to say in that area. The Lord is good. If you understood me, say amen.
Amen.
If you understood me, say amen.
Amen.
Let's just bow our heads and just give the Lord thanks. Say, Father, we thank you.